That's been sort of what we've heard from our volunteers and even just us. It's just another, it's kind of a layer of intimacy that is different than the in-person visits that we just had a meeting. I do, the three of us meet quarterly, and we haven't done our annual retreat, which we usually do in the summer because that's in person, but we did meet in a park, just so happens last 2 weeks ago, the three of us, and we did kind of a larger assessment of what we're doing and going back to our mission around isolation, and just a sort of surprise that yes, we're doing what we are good at. We're reaching out to those who are isolated. And you know, it's different than what other folks do, but it was kind of reassuring to say, okay, we're doing what we can.
That's great. I remember when we were on a call before, Erin, you didn't feel that way. So this is really wonderful to hear. So mazel tov. Yeah, Amy, you wanted to say something?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah. Oh.
Sure.
I'm sorry. Can I ask Erin a question?
Yeah.
As you're pivoting to do the calls to sort of homebound seniors, whose plate do you put that on? Like who basically, what shifted that you could have somebody do that? Because that to me is a challenge I'm seeing is I want us to do that, but I'm not quite sure who to give that to.
Well, we already had a volunteer friendly visiting program. So we had all those folks who were already matched. And then we had a number of people reach out to us saying, oh, I want to do something. I want to help a couple of board members. So we sort of just folded them in. But we did. So we already had our volunteer training and everything set up to just fold those folks in. But we did have, you know, new expectations. And again, boundaries and all of that. So it's really, it fell to our volunteer, the person who does our volunteer management, but it's also kind of the three of us who know the clients and who were ready to do more matches.
And Stephen, in Indianapolis, our staff has been the ones who are making the calls.
Thank you.
Because they're not doing home visits. They're not, you know, having groups in person. So they're the ones who are doing check-ins, you know, week on a rotating basis with every client.
Wow. Amy.
So we're, you know, continuing to focus on our four basic, our core programs, our aging adult services, which is a, you know, case management encompasses individual therapy as well, family consultation, support groups to family caregivers, bereavement groups. We're growing our mental health program. Rachel and I actually have been in contact, you know, talking about how we might incorporate some of her successes in our area. It's very different population, Greenwich versus New Haven. So it's a very different population. Also our SOS program, which is basic needs and case management, referral sources for just sort of rental assistance and food. And we do have some cash assistance as well. And our food programs, our food pantry, which we had to close initially in the early stages of COVID. We've been lucky enough to be able to keep it open since, I think it was, I don't know, maybe mid-May, under different protocols because the space just wasn't big enough to have people shopping in and out of, going up and down aisles and right. Having, you know, so many people waiting on our sidewalks and lots of volunteers inside. So we sort of turned into JFS Instacart where people are in touch with our food pantry director who knows them really well. And she can say, you know, we have X, Y, and Z on our shelves right now. And I know you're a diabetic, so maybe you'll want this and you need gluten-free. So maybe you'll want that. And so we've been doing these individually packaged bags where people then come just, you know, one or two at a time at certain assigned times. So we don't have people waiting outside. And we just finished our food, our Thanksgiving program, getting everything passed out. And today we're open today and tomorrow just for emergencies, for people who either miss their appointment. And we did that with also some, a lot of gift cards from our synagogues have been wonderful and collected lots and lots of gift cards for our pantry clients. Pre-COVID, you know, we've been, we've had quite a loss of revenue in terms of our very once large therapeutic foster care program that we have through the state of Connecticut, which basically funded all the rest of our wonderful other programs into the Jewish community. So that's been decreasing for the, you know, last, I'm going to say maybe even 5 years now. And, you know, we're looking for, I just brought in a new grant writer. I'm looking for a fund developer to help me bring in some family foundation money and other donors, corporate donors. It's something we've not had before that we're really looking to do that. I will say our federation has been very helpful. They really came to the plate during COVID in terms of the Maimonides Fund and partnering with our Jewish Foundation. JFS does get the bulk of the monies that they're raising, which has been great since their allocations to us over the last few years have dwindled considerably. So we're not connected, you know, other than just the typical umbrella. We're not in the JCC building, although the Federation has wanted us for years to do that. We've not, our board has not wanted to do that and really felt that. And also just the way the area is set up, you know, we're on it, we want to be in a more urban setting and they're in a very suburban, rural-ish area. You know, I'd say right now our struggles because of the PPP and some of these Maimonides monies, we're making it through of 2020, we're going to come out even. But we're really worried about 2021. You know, we definitely have grown our mental health, but we're concerned about bringing in the necessary dollars just to, you know, no one's anticipating there'll be another PPP or, you know, who knows what's going to come down the pike there. So we're really trying hard to, you know, bring in more dollars.
Yeah. I mean, that's the role of all nonprofits, right? Every year, it's always the same, you know.
How we do have the EFSP with our food pantry, so that's been great. They've been, but other than, you know, I think what's happened at our JFS is that we were very reliant on these state funds in Connecticut. Right. You know, listen, it's the same everywhere right now. But of course, in the numbers here in Connecticut are sky high, worse than they were in March. In April, and we're not in, you know, I don't think so. I really think the governor's trying really hard not to do that, but little by little, the schools are closing. Mostly the elementaries are trying to stay open so parents have, you know, the opportunity to continue work. We've been remote the entire time. We've not been physically there, but as I'm sure everybody else would say, you know, working 24/7 remotely. And our, like I said before, the pantry thankfully was able to just open, but in a different way. And it's worked out okay. I mean, we did lose some of our pantry families, just because I would say the area in New Haven there, the consortium of all the different food programs just did an exceptional job and set up lots of mobile pantries with really great, types of foods, way better than what we were getting from our the Connecticut Food Bank. So
wonderful. Leah, let's talk to you for a minute, because Leah's from a different kind of organization who's a member of the Jewish Human Services Agencies. But, you know, you're not a JFS, you're a food bank. So talk to us about what's happening with you.
Right. Hi, everybody. Yeah, we're a kosher food pantry, kind of an anomaly, because we're totally independent. We've been around for 30 years. We give out about 1 million pounds of food a year to low-income families. When COVID hit, our numbers increased by about 15%. And what used to be a process included clients coming here to our facility. We have a 16,000 square foot building with a big warehouse where all the food is housed, where clients would have a shopping experience. They would choose the items that they want and need based on a point system, which was connected to the size of the family. So COVID hits and all of a sudden we can't do that anymore. Like all of you, we had to completely pivot. We switched to deliveries only. The amount of food we were getting donated, while is we purchased most of the food that we distribute, we used to get a lot of donated food through the local food bank and other resources. That kind of dried up. Our food costs increased, our clients increased, and our volunteers decreased because most of our volunteers were older. And so no one could come to the building. There were seven of us. And so we were all looking at each other saying, oh my God, what are we gonna do? No one can get sick, because if one of us gets sick, we have to totally shut down and then no one gets food. So thank God everyone was very vigilant and the community has been incredibly supportive of us. We did get some Federation dollars, even though we're not a Federation agency, but they recognize the need. We got the EFSP money that, you know, many of you got. We got the PPP, which wasn't a lot because we have a small staff, but that was $85,000. And then there were grants available. Wherever I saw a grant, I applied. And, you know, from my perspective, we've been very, very fortunate. Like you have said, some of you have said already on this call, worried about next year because we all have Zoom fatigue. We all have COVID fatigue. I just hope that as long as this continues, we're able to support our client families. We obviously had to get rid of the choice piece of this because now we're making deliveries to about 40 to 45 families every day, 5 days a week. So the whole choice thing went out the window. We have small packages and large packages based on family size, and it includes all kinds of proteins. We give out chicken and ground beef and ground turkey, filter fish, eggs, low-fat cottage cheese, rice, healthy carbs, all kinds of things. Again, most of the stuff we purchase, so we were never in a situation where we ran out or, you know, didn't have, if we didn't have something, it was because we couldn't get it, but it was not a financial issue. At the same time, some of our clients have been clients of ours for 30 years, and so they've come to rely on us, and their expectations are much higher. So which on occasion turns some heads. My biggest concern right now is as Michigan gets into winter months, our volunteer delivery drivers who have been so integral to this whole process. I mean, without them, I don't know how we'd be getting the food to everyone. I don't know if there are enough Lyft and Uber drivers in town. You know, I'm concerned that a lot of volunteers, as the weather gets yucky, are going to say, hey, sorry, I'm out of here. I'm not doing this anymore. So that's a concern.
You mean because of the weather, the winter weather, they don't want to get in a car accident potentially as they're driving?
Right, yeah. Okay, I mean, winters can be pretty brutal here.
Yep. Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of our delivery drivers are older people who aren't comfortable to forget driving at night. They're not comfortable driving when there's an inch of snow on the ground. And we get a lot of snow.
Yep.
So that's a concern. And again, as I said before, just the whole fatigue about this is very draining, as we all know. We have not been working remotely. We're one of the few agencies everyone has been here. I mean, the only place any of us came outside of our homes and maybe a supermarket was to work, you know, since March. So it's been a great bonding experience, if you will. But we will all be clicking our heels when it's over. Financially, thank God, that's not a serious concern at this moment. But like all of you, I'm going to be hungry tomorrow. I want to make sure I've got food.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone saw the This Morning America or CBS this morning. Tyler Perry, you know, gave out 5,000 Thanksgiving meals for families, and he announced it. And within 2 hours, you know, it was all gone. The 5,000 families had come in their cars from all over, you know, the counties in Atlanta, where he is, or Georgia. And there's just such a need for food. There's so much food insecurity, you know, all the statistics. It's just, and it's going to get worse. So all of you that are doing this work, I think, is really important. And I think there's money out there for it as well. I guess that's what I'm really saying, because it seems to be a lot of statistics and a lot of people are talking about it. So keep up the good work. Did you, anyone do the grant that we have, you know, where you can get up to $100,000 of equipment for your food pantry or any kind of capital?
Oh, yeah, I applied for that. Yeah.
Yeah, great. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to be doing it again in January. So, Ken, you could be thinking about that potentially. Anyway.
Thank you. We'll do. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's great. How many are, I know we have about a couple minutes left, but are any of your agencies working with JFNA for the human services matching funds?
Yeah.
Jody? Sorry, I'm on my phone. So, okay. I can't tell how many, but.
I think everyone's so a fan. Like
a lot of people. Okay, good.
That's good. So one of the questions we wanted to talk about as well is moving forward, does this group, the Small Agency Executive Affinity Group, want to meet every other month, which is what we've been doing basically, or every third month? We could meet quarterly or we could meet every other month. The CEO check-in chats will be continuing to meet weekly on Wednesdays at 4. It's the same link every time. So once you get it, just put it in your calendar. What do you think? Howard wanted me to ask that question. Raise your hand if you want to continue to meet every other month. Okay. And what about every other month, every third month? And Jody, you didn't want to meet at all? I'm fine either way. Okay, so we'll continue every other month.
I think that every other month is more attractive to me, because if I miss it, I'm not that behind.
Okay.
Every it gives other more month. Opportunity to be busy and not be able to attend.
So the next small agency group is January 11th. And then I'll continue to tell you more. I'll have to look at the calendar. And the first integrated executives is January 12th. So they're a day apart. I don't know if that's so terrific, but that's the way it is. What do you think, Lori? That's the way it is.
Yeah. I mean, I think we looked at the calendars and there wasn't a whole lot of options. Yeah. I don't know why I thought we had said the 14th, but I don't think we did. I think we did say the 12th.
Do you want it on whatever the 14th or we can talk later?
No, it's fine.
Okay. So anyone else have any, Debbie, you're on this call. We didn't hear from you. Did you want to say anything?
I did have a question, which was, do any of your agencies have any, have put out policies about discrimination or diversity? That seems to keep coming up, and certainly in the climate we're in, that's been coming up a lot. So if anybody has that, that would be really helpful.
You mean like a share manual?
More like a statement on your website about how you encourage diversity. I mean, I know United Way has them. We have community foundations. And I'm just wondering, we did have a really wonderful two-part seminar that's on our website if anybody's interested, with a really terrific speaker about diversity and about, he had grown up in the African American community in the Lehigh Valley and really very, it was very well received. But we're talking about, should we be doing more in that area with the current climate and trying to come up with more of a policy. It also always comes up having diversity on our board. Our board is not very diverse, although they think they're diverse because we have some young people now and we have some old people. So they think, and we have some women. So they think that's diverse, what we're talking about, whether more diversity.
Debbie. Debbie, I think on the NJHSA portal on the library, there might be some statements that other communities have shared.
I was just going to say that you could just type in the search diversity, but I also wanted to mention that I went to JCFS Philly, Philadelphia, Jewish Family Children's Services. They have such a great, interesting website. Maybe others of you have it. When you click on their website, they have something that pops up. And after George Floyd, they had a really great statement that popped up. It's probably still somewhere on there. Now I think something that pops up is about the post-election. I'm not sure, but I would look at that Philadelphia JCFS or JFCS. I'm not sure which one.
The other thing I'll just say, we had a really successful fundraiser talking about food insufficiency and our meal program. It was called the Great JFS Food Fest Fair, and we were able to get chefs from all over the community to do demonstrations. And then at 4 p.m., we had this, we called it the Food Pantry Throwdown, and we gave out ingredients to a group of chefs. We had appetizers for sort of semi-professional chefs. We had the people who cook professionally do the main course, and then we have kids cook dessert. And we had a live event. We had them judged, and we were able to really bring in a lot of money. And then in addition to that, we're doing a cookbook that we've been able to. That
great idea,
out.
Ken, something so, like that.
Yeah, so, and great it idea. Was a virtual, got a lot of community involvement, and really, we made more money than we've ever made with all our other fundraisers that were usually, again, where we had a meal that often wasn't that good and brought in a big crowd of people.
Excellent. Excellent idea.
So yeah.
We have to end this because I know it's almost two. I want to take this moment to thank profusely Lori Moss. Really, you were the very first, this was the very first affinity group. Lori was the one who thought about having affinity groups, and it's grown now to 21. So I really want to thank you. You really were the start of all of them. And, you know, you should feel good about that because people really love these.
Well, you know, and it wouldn't happen without Lisa, Ruben, the whole staff, of you.
Yeah.
I mean, all of you who have an interest and make time to come to these and share and be willing to share documents and ideas. And it makes a huge difference, especially for those of us with small agencies where we don't have grant writing departments or fundraising departments, things like that. So I'll still be around.
Yeah. And then the only other thing I wanted to say is that our conference, the annual virtual NJHSA conference, is going to be April 19th to the 22nd. We are hiring a production company. We've got this really cool platform and it's going to be really great. It's only as great as the proposals that we get in. So we really want you to think about what you could write about, any fabulous program you've done. Like, you know, I thought that could be interesting, that what Rachel writes about how she has managed to raise money, like anything that you think other people could benefit from, whether it's what you've done to pivot after COVID-19, management, leadership, maybe you just want to do a program in the program showcase, that's okay too. But think about it, and we hope that you guys will submit proposals. They're due mid-December, so you don't have much time. I'm sure we'll probably
have they been sent out yet?
Yeah, it's been sent out like 3 times.
Oh, really? So, I totally missed that.
Listen to me.
Is there
nobody,
a fee? Remind me.
There's so much information that we're sending out. It's in this past NJHSA newsletter again.
Okay.
All right, so you'll see it there. But if you need it, just let me know and I'll send it to you. We're sending a reminder. It's tough. It's a tough time for everybody. I get it.
Lisa, I think what Jane was asking, is there a fee to participate?
Oh, a fee. Oh, we haven't told that yet. We don't know. But there will be a fee, but it won't be a lot. I think what we're doing is, I think we're going to have larger agencies pay a certain fee, medium, small, sort of do it that way. And for like 8 people or 5 people or however many we're having.
I asked if we're in the process of doing budgeting right now, and our budget's always so tight. I just want to make sure to include it. So if there was a range that you knew.
We're having a meeting on December 14th with the, is that too far away?
Oh yeah.
I was also wondering this and emailed Karen Rosen last week, and she emailed back just a range to put in. I think for us, I'm trying to remember, I think she may have said 250 a person. I said for 3 of us, what is right? It may be off. I don't know. But
okay. Yeah, I don't
she
think
was
we're
the
doing
source
per person.
Of my budget mm-hmm. projection.
Okay. I'll find out a range and let you know what I find out. But
all right, thanks, Lisa.
Nothing's written in gold
it.
Until we have the meeting, but I'll give you a range.
All right.
Okay. Thanks. So, you guys.
And I want to, the only other thing I want to do is wish Aaron, because I didn't know that you were on a stay at home already. I had not heard that. So I think you might be the only state that's back on that. So I'm thinking about you and wishing well for that. I know that's not easy professionally or personally when that happens. So hang in there.
Hang in there. Everyone hang
flashback
in there.
Flashback of March, but worse.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that, Lori. Thank you. And I hope no one else has it. And if you do, we're just all together in this.
I have to go, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right. Have a good Thanksgiving, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks.